You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Welcome aboard, Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. A cold day in Eastern Iowa. Bundle up out there, especially if you are working outside, as many of our good listeners here in Eastern Iowa do basically 340-odd days a year. We got a good show coming up for you. We are jam-packed today. Bob Herrig will join us to preview the 2025 golf season. We'll talk about the majors, what impact those will have this year. We'll talk golf on a chilly day in Eastern Iowa coming up. Time to talk some wrestling with you. KJ Pilcher, the Gazette, going to be stopping by as well. And a whole lot more, including the results of the Pick 6. $30 gift card going out to somebody out there who hitched their wagon up to the correct prognosticator for the weekend. Great to have you with us, Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Isaac, all with you on the Gym Class, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour here on 1600 ESPN, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. And we've got Iowa State women's basketball tonight. Cyclones hosting the Red Raiders of Texas Tech at Hilton Coliseum, 6 o'clock, right after Spencer on Sports wraps up at 6 o'clock. We'll join up with the pregame show and a tip-off at around 6:35. And Mark, a good afternoon. Hope you're bundled up today.
I'm doing good, Scott. Good afternoon to you and Isaac and everyone out there. And just pondering what happened to my NFC North. I know the Lions are still involved, but wow.
Yeah. Boy, I was wrong on that one. But it was very early that we knew. Cyclone Tim, I feel for you. I'm sure you will hit us up on the text line at 319-366-1600 or the phone line also at 319-366-1600. I've often asked myself this, Mark, is it better to get blown out, know it early, or is it better to get beat on an absolute, you know, heartbreaker late? I don't know. But man alive, the Minnesota Vikings, last couple of games, that wasn't good.
No, and it wasn't good last night. Congratulations to the Rams. Looked very good. And I think we're going to be talking, or at least some people are going to be talking for quite some time now about Sam Darnold and his future with the Vikings. And I know a lot of people are putting him down, and he hasn't had a good couple games. He did lead this team to 14 victories this year. So it's kind of a really interesting dynamic there, and whether he'll be back next year, J.J. McCarthy in the wings and all that.
You talked about the NFC North, and obviously Detroit, we'll see how they will fare coming up, but the Vikings did not fare well. Obviously, Green Bay did not fare well. Could it be, I mean, good teams. I'm not taking anything away from the seasons. I think they were helped by the fact that this year, with the schedule and the way it laid out, that the NFC North got to play the NFC West, and then the opposite league, they got to play the AFC South, the Jacksonville, Tennessee, Indianapolis, and the division champion Houston. And obviously you play a division champion like the Rams or the Houston Texans, but you get to face a lot of bottom feeders in there as well. Maybe that helped the schedule out a little bit. I don't know. I think it also helped out the Denver Broncos and the LA Chargers, to be honest with you, a little bit by the AFC West going up against the NFC South as well.
Yeah. Didn't the Rams beat the Vikings in the regular season?
They did.
So I think there's something to that. The teams you play certainly has a factor in there and ends up, you know, affecting your one-loss record. But I expected the Vikings to rebound. I really did. But they were far from it.
No future with Darnold, says Cyclone Tim, and a Viking logo that shows the, I don't know what they call Mr. Viking. I don't know. He probably has a name, but I don't know said name. Shows him crying into the palm of his hand after last night's game. They said it pretty blatantly on the broadcast and then afterwards last night that the last 2 weeks, yeah, you make money. It's kind of like the stock market or your 401k. It goes up, it goes down. Sam Darnold was on an upswing. Sam Darnold is now on a downswing. He cost himself, whether it's with the Minnesota Vikings or with another team, he cost himself some money in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Yeah, it is. What have you done for me lately? But like I said, he won 14 games for this team and contributed a lot in that regard. I don't know how other teams are going to look at him. I don't know how the Vikings are going to look at him. Obviously, Cyclone Tim wants to move on. What are you going to move on to, Tim? Are you ready for McCarthy right away? Daniel Jones there? I don't know.
What is the future? Isaac, what do you think? Darnold, Danny Dimes, or J.J. McCarthy?
I think Daniel Jones might start for like a game or two, depending on where J.J. is and his recovery and how ready they think he is. But I think next year J.J. is probably going to start the majority of the game. And Sam Darnold, he's still going to get paid by someone because this draft class, there's only about three quarterbacks probably taken in the first round. And there's probably about six teams that need a quarterback. So someone's going to give them, I don't know, 35 a year, 40 a year over 3 years or so.
So who needs a quarterback?
The Steelers, Browns, Giants.
Well, the Steelers got Justin Fields as well.
Yeah, they do not seem to have much faith in Justin Fields based off of benching him and then Russell Wilson not playing well at the end of the year.
Browns still for sure. Play.
Browns, Giants, Raiders, Titans. I'm trying to think of all the teams.
There's Miami, depending on Tua's health.
There's more than three, basically, is my point. So someone's going to pay Sam Darnold based off of what he did this year.
True. I don't know. I can see a scenario where the Minnesota Vikings give him another one-year contract and then have J.J. McCarthy as the caddy for him for a little while. A little golf reference before we talk to Bob Herrig out there. I don't know. That's going to be interesting for the Vikings in the offseason. Matt Fairfax responding to our query. You want to get blown out. You don't want your hopes up for the whole game just to be gutted. Tim asks you, Mark, why would you draft J.J. McCarthy 10th in the draft if you are not going to play him?
No question. But what about his health? And you would guess he'd be back okay next year. Just don't know. And next year he'll be unproven. Yeah, I agree, Tim. If you're going to draft somebody in number 10, you're going to want to play him.
Chiefs did not throw Patrick Mahomes in there right away. And I think that was a big help to Patrick Mahomes' maturation and to his career path. I really think that is the way the timeline played out. We'll see what the Vikings do. 319-366-1600 here on the Jim Class. I mentioned Iowa State women's basketball tonight. Iowa State men hosting Kansas tomorrow. That's an early game, 6 o'clock with the tip-off. We'll have it for you here on 1600 ESPN. Mark, you are waiting for the first one of these since the expansion of the Mega Big Ten, and by golly, we got it tonight. Your first 9:35 tip-off for an Iowa basketball game in the conference as they take on the USC Trojans tonight. That game will be played out in Los Angeles, and it will be played on USC's campus. USC's campus more toward downtown, more away from the fires. There is still a little bit of speculation as far as Iowa's game coming up later on when they take on the UCLA Bruins, if that game is going to be played at Pauley Pavilion, which is much closer to the wildfires, which unfortunately today were predicted to kick up again due to some wind. We'll have to find out. But as of right now, Friday's game is still scheduled to be on and at Pauley Pavilion. That is actually an earlier game. That's an 8 o'clocker, but 9:30 tonight. You're going to treat it like a Twins road trip, right, on the West Coast?
I'll be ready to go. I don't take naps anyway, so it's not going to affect me. I'll just be up a little bit later or not. You know, if I was getting blown out, I'll probably hit the sack. But the performance the last time out, I mean, against Indiana, made me want to watch this team. It could totally change. USC went to Illinois and looked great. It's really been an up-and-down team for Eric Musselman. But I don't care what time it is.
No. 319-366-1600. More about the Vikings last night, 64-28, saying the only way the Vikings should keep Darnold is if he gets the franchise tag, make next year the prove-it year. Yeah. Darnold has had his issues, his 89-23, but he was sacked 9 times last night, which was tied a record last night for sacks in an NFL playoff game. It's the offensive line, says 89-23. Well, that line was okay during the year. Rams are playing pretty good football right now, Mark. Especially the defense has gotten much better in the second half of the year for Los Angeles.
Yeah, it has. And it's always the offensive line, isn't it? Whether we're talking about college football, professional football. And it was a sieve last night for the Vikings. And, you know, how much do you blame on Darnold? You know, easy to say, throw the ball away. Well, you're not, you don't have a 300-pound guy in your face and or more than one multiple times. It's a tough thing to do. So I think it's a point well taken about the offensive line, at least last night.
And I think the Rams were motivated too. They look like a motivated football team playing for a city. And I think they had a lot of emotional backing in that game last night. So we've got the divisional playoffs coming up this weekend, and we'll have most of those games, 3 of the 4 right here on 1600 ESPN. Going to make everyone feel warmer right now at 3:16. We're going to talk some golf with you. We have golf tonight, by the way. We get the Sim Golf Night Week 2, Mark. Tiger is going to play tonight on one of the two teams. Maybe we'll get to that coming up here in just a moment with our next guest. Always good to talk golf. Always good to talk with our friend Bob Herrig, who does such a great job with Sports Illustrated and author, et cetera, et cetera. Bob, as I mentioned, Happy New Year to you. I said, I hope you had a great off season. You said, what off season? There is no off season in golf, right? How you doing?
Yeah. Hey, Happy New Year, guys. Thanks for having me. You're right. I was telling a colleague of mine, I was just the weekend before Christmas, I was at the event where Tiger was playing with his son in Orlando, the PNC. And then last week I was down here for the TGL and I'm back again this week. There's really not a lot of downtime in golf. And I do have to say it is a little odd to be talking about golf when I'm heading to an event that's starting at night. One of the things that we all say in golf is the great thing about covering golf is there's no night games. Well, that's not the case anymore. So here we are.
What'd you think about the debut of the Sim Golf League, Bob?
Yeah, look, I thought it was fine. I mean, I understand the skepticism over this. It's going to have some detractors. I'm probably one of them. I've wondered, do we need this? But I actually came down about a month ago. They had like a media sort of unveiling. They showed off the arena, the technology, and it's really impressive. And, let's be honest, it's a TV show. It's a way to get people who might not be big golf fans to watch something that's different with all the technology and all the shot traits or stuff and the yardages. It's fast paced. It's not like watching a 4 or 5 hour day of golf, it's over with pretty quick. And, so I, I look, it's at a time like there's no golf on a Tuesday night. So it kind of, in that regard, it kind of works. But can it sustain itself? They're playing 15 times. I wonder what the sweet spot is. You know, are we going to care about this in 6 weeks? Obviously, there's intrigue with Tiger. I think whenever Tiger hits a golf shot, there will be. But what about the weeks he's not playing after this? You know, so they certainly have put a lot of money and effort into it. This is not a fly-by-night operation here. You know, they've got a lot of big backing from, you know, well-heeled ownership of these teams, which is amazing in itself. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes and if it's able to catch on.
It's kind of like a modern-day cross between the old Shell's Wonderful World of Golf meets, you know, getting together with your friends and going out for, you know, a couple beers and sim golf on a Tuesday night, right?
Yeah, I think there's something to be said for that. I mean, you know, when I first heard about it way back, I was like, really? A simulator? But it's a 60-foot high screen. You know, it's five stories. It's unbelievable how big it is. And the green complex, it has, you know, all these hydraulics beneath it to change the contours and the whole location. So they put a lot into this, you know, and I think the fact that it's named guys doing it, you know, golfers that we, you know, that we are familiar with, gives it a chance. Obviously, the backing of ESPN is huge. You know, if you're watching the NFL last night, the Monday Night Football game, they promoted it. You know, they had Rory on a couple weeks ago during halftime of a game, of the last regular season game. So they've got the, you know, the marketing might of ESPN behind it. They don't want to see it fail. You know, they've got these ownership people, like a guy like Steve Cohen, who just paid Juan Soto, what, $720 million over however many years to play for the Mets. Well, he's the owner of the New York team in this. And, you know, it's, while maybe it's a plaything for him, it's hard to believe that he would throw down a bunch of money into something that he thought he was just going to lose. So, you know, they've got a lot of things going for them. Again, it's just a matter of are we as a public going to embrace it?
Bob, an unreal year last year for Scotty Scheffler. Of course, he's injured, not going to be back for at least a couple weeks anyway. How concerned are you about his injury, and what do you really expect out of him this year?
Yeah, you know, until we talk to him and see exactly what the deal is, you know, it's fair to have a little bit of concern. I mean, it's his hand. You know, he cut his hand. I mean, is it just a, you know, they said it required surgery. You know, that you know, like, that sounds kind of serious, right? You know, he needed surgery? You know, so, like, you know, it's, you know, the hand is an important part of golf. So if it heals up properly, I don't see it being that big of an issue. You know, Scotty was playing well at the end of the year, a couple of extra weeks. Maybe it takes him a little more time to get into it. It's really amazing to think that you know, a Louisville police officer at Christmas dinner are the only things that have really derailed him here over the past year or so, because nothing else has really gotten in his way very often. And, you know, he's missing two tournaments he would have played. Coming back at Pebble Beach, not the easiest place, you know, especially if the weather isn't great. But, you know, it's a long season. And, you know, should we expect him to win seven times anyway? I think that's probably unrealistic. You know, I think that would be unfair almost. You know, if he were to win... My guess is Scotty would be thrilled to get another major, no matter where it is. And if the number of victories is a lot less, he'll be fine with it if he can add another major.
Yeah. Bob Herrick joining us here at 3:24 on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here at 1600 ESPN. Things that you're looking at, maybe people, individuals you're looking at to make a comeback? I think a lot of people are wondering the Jordan Spieth saga, if it's going to be back to good Jordan or if it's going to be Jordan in the background. What else are you looking forward to going into the year?
Yeah, certainly Jordan's a big one. I mean, it's hard to believe this will be 10 years since the big, you know, breakout two major season of 2015. He was only 21 at the time. Now he's 31. And, you know, since he won his third major in 2017, he's only won twice since. You know, I mean, what are we talking, 7 or 8 years with only two wins? You know, these windows are small. That's why, you know, Scheffler taking advantage while he can is important, because you just wonder how long they have. I mean, Patrick Cantlay is another one, hasn't won now for a couple of years. He's a top 10 player, but he doesn't win. Morikawa knocked on the door often last year without a win. You know, these are guys that are you know, the ones we expect to be big players at the Ryder Cup aren't big winners. You know, I'm wondering about Ricky Fowler. After finally winning again in 2023, he won in Detroit. You know, he fell off again last year and really had a poor year. He was in all the signature events, which is a huge head start on everyone else. And wasn't able to, you know, even get into the playoffs. Didn't make the top 70, so let alone the top 50. So, you know, there's a couple of guys and a couple of names right there. You know, I'm sort of curious about a couple of live guys, too, that we forget about. You know, Cam Smith didn't win at all last year on live. And, you know, when he won the Open a couple of years ago, I think we thought he might knock off a couple of more majors. You know, where is he right now? Even Bryson, as great as that year was with winning the U.S. Open and contending at two other majors, he didn't win a live event, which is kind of hard to believe. You know, so I think there's a lot of neat storylines with players this year, and certainly we're all sort of wondering, you know, the state of the game, when is that going to get resolved?
Yeah, Bob, why has the live situation lingered so long, and is it ever going to get resolved?
You know, my sense is part of it is government intervention, you know, the Department of Justice. You know, they're going to have a say in this because of Saudi involvement and an American company, and also, you know, they're concerned about lack of competition. Like, it's that I'm not quite sure I understand. You know, other pro leagues have merged or aligned because, you know, from where I sit, competition in pro sports doesn't really work. You know, if there can't be a rival football league that succeeds, like with, you know, to the NFL, how can it work in golf? You know, people who talk about the USFL back in the day, 30 years ago, they'll tell you that was popular in the spring, playing, you know, because people love football so much. But the problem was that people wanted to see Herschel Walker and Doug Flutie in the NFL. They didn't want to see them in a separate league that was viewed as, you know, superior. And I think we have that same thing going on in golf. You know, you might be accepting of LIV Golf or whatever, but, like, even LIV supporters want to see Scottie Scheffler and Bryson DeChambeau play against each other more often. So, you know, you've got that aspect. And then there's the eternal, I think, sort of wrangling over how do we bring them back? Like, if they are to play on the PGA Tour again, or if there is to be more competition outside of the major championships, how do all these guys coexist? And I got to believe that there are dozens of differing opinions on how that should work. You know, some guys are going to say, yep, I want Bryson to waltz right back onto the PGA Tour and be able to play a few tournaments. Others are going to say, no, not at all. He took the money and left. he should only, you know, he shouldn't get to play that much in every sort of little iteration in between. And I got to believe figuring that out is really hard. And so then if you're the PIF, the Public Investment Fund, in theory, you're looking out for your players. So you're not going to sign a deal that's bad for them, you know, especially if you're going to be forking over $1 billion. So you want this to be fair for their players, and you want the investment to go to things that are going to bring back a return. And I got to believe this is a monumental task trying to figure this all out, which is why it's taking so long.
And it is. It is taking long. And good year for the majors. Got Oakmont on the U.S. Open this year outside of Pittsburgh. Of course, we know what to expect in Augusta. We'll see. I'm sure Augusta National is going to be, we won't even be able to tell, or you guys won't even be able to tell, that they had the hurricane go through there. That will be interesting. And it's also going to be interesting in a couple of weeks to see. As of right now, the PGA Tour will be playing at Riviera, but the fires are still going. They are not fully contained, so who knows how that's going to play out.
Yeah, my sense for that is they're going to have to move that tournament. I'm not sure how you can play there. They are right on the edge of a lot of destruction. And even if everything is contained at that time, there's so many aspects to a golf tournament that are required that might take resources away from, you know, all of the issues they are going to face. You know, you need security, you need space to park people, roads. There's a school right by Riviera where they park a lot of people, which, you know, sometimes school is out that week. I have a feeling that they're going to need classroom space because other places don't exist anymore because of the fires. You know, I mean, hotel rooms might be occupied by people who have been displaced. There's so many aspects to that. And yet, I'm sure the tour is sensitive to wanting to perhaps, you know, provide, a distraction, maybe bring economic benefit to the region if that's possible. So that's why I think they probably haven't pulled the plug on it yet. But at the same time, I got to believe that the local authorities are going to maybe say it might not be a good idea. And then the question is, where do they go? Because I just don't see them canceling a tournament, especially in the New World PGA Tour where, you know, they need to make money. And making money, their biggest revenue sources are TV rights and sponsorship fees. And if you don't play the event, those dollars go away. So, so where do you move it? It's not like there's a lot, you know, like if you wanted to move it to St. Paul Springs, which has been kicked around, well, maybe a place where they would play, like, well, that's where the tour is this week. You say maybe they just go back there. But maybe they're booked up for that week, you know, because people make plans and they put together outings or corporate things that are set in stone, might have been paid for already. So it's a very, very tough situation the tour finds itself in right now. And we'll see how that emerges. You noted that the major venues, you know, obviously Oakmont is a great U.S. Open spot. It's great that it's going back there, one of the all-time classics. The Port Rush was well-received in 2019. The fact that they're coming back so quickly 6 years later, I think tells you how popular that was. Quail Hollow is an excellent golf course. I'd be surprised that the PGA is going there. But the tour plays there every year. They just had a President's Cup there in 2022. There was also a PGA Championship there in 2017 that Justin Thomas won.
Well, I think we lost Bob there, or in the process of losing Bob right there. And we'll get Bob on. Tell him that thank you. Tell him thank you. But he cut out there, and we'll get that. Our thanks to – tell him thank you, Isaac. Tell Bob thank you. All right. Bob Herrig from Sports Illustrated talking golf with us here on the Jim Klass on 1600 ESPN. All right. KJ Pilcher on the On Deck Circle, and we will talk a little wrestling with him. Mark, we got to get to an Emil Sideways scoreboard update first. It's brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot. They are open at 4 o'clock Monday through Saturday. You can check out their entire menu. It is online at emilshideaway.com. What do we got?
The Football Writers Association of America has come out with its all-freshman team. And Iowa punter Reese Dakin has made the team. Northern Iowa is up to number 5 this week in the National Wrestling Coaches Association College Wrestling Poll. It's the highest UNI has been since 2014. Speaking of the California Fires, 3-time Olympic champion Gary Hall Jr. Lost 10 of his swimming medals and a Pacific Palisades house fire. However, the International Olympic Committee intends to replace those medals. And just for you, Scott, Patrick Mahomes and his wife announced the birth of their third child. It's a daughter, Golden Ray. The other children's names are Sterling and Bronze.
Yeah, they're just keeping with the theme right there, right? So he should be a proud papa then, getting ready to take on Houston coming up on Saturday. And we've got a winner in the pick six, right?
We do indeed. Dave is our winner. He prevailed in last night's game, picking the Rams. Dave went 5-1 and earned a $30 gift card for a listener, Isaac.
That would be Tyler, who I will call in just a moment.
Congratulations. Very good. All right. We are going to take a break, come back, and talk some wrestling with you. Stay tuned. More to come after this here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And it is going to be sunny but very cold. Temperatures will be held to the teens, but the winds will make it feel much colder and will be in the sub-zero range with those wind chills through much of the day. And wind chills will just get to around zero later this afternoon. Tonight, with clear skies and calmer winds, temperatures drop down to a low around zero. Tomorrow, it'll be sunny and slightly warmer with temperatures rising into the low to mid-20s. We'll make our way into the 30s and 40s and above freezing for Thursday and Friday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Jake from State Farm. I just beat my running PR, so I'm celebrating with a Banana Bonanza smoothie.
Hey, and you can keep celebrating when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling your home and auto with the State Farm Personal Price Plan. Go bananas.
I will. Hey, make it a large.
Bundling. Just another way to save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
No two people learn the exact same way. So how did Babbel become the award-winning language learning app? We thought of you. All of you. Take Sierra. As a visual learner, she uses Babbel's wordplay videos.
Today I'll share a quick lesson on shopping in French.
Merci beaucoup. Keith is a be-in-the-room-with-real-people kind of learner. So he loves the live online classes with our language experts.
Okay, class. Vos está pronto.
Estamos prontos.
However you learn, Babbel makes it easy. Try Babbel for free at Babbel.com, B-A-B-B-E-L.com.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Business owners, are you tired of hearing, "I didn't know you were here"? Frustrated that your unique story isn't being told? If your sales are flat or declining, it's time for a change. I'm Stacy Daybault, branding specialist and strategist with KZIA, and I have the solution. Brandsformation is a proven marketing system that delivers results. You'll have an entire team of experts working on your message to inspire and drive sales.
To schedule an appointment, call this station or text BRAND to 76626.
Life's better when you're under our roof because our agents can help you choose insurance to help protect what matters most. Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family could have the help they need to continue to pursue their dreams.
Contact Kurt Gustafson or Lana Pierce at 319-363-7214.
Products not available in all states. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance.
Back with you here in the Gym Class, 339, 1600 ESPN. Mark Ironside will join us coming up tomorrow, who predicted 10 out of 10 in Madison for the Iowa Hawkeyes. So
I can see that.
Yeah. I'm sorry, KJ. Now I got your mic on.
Oh, now I can say I can see that.
And they did it.
There's been a few times where he's expected a sweep like that. But, man, they look good. Wisconsin's in a world of hurt. You know, I don't think I would have saw that. I mean, they came in 4-4. But still, you look at the lineup that they put out there, and it's just not a Wisconsin lineup. Usually you'd have at least 1, 2, 3 hammers and guys that were
But they lost their hammers to NIL.
Yeah. You know, and that's the way the world that's going to happen more and more.
Yeah.
As things advance.
KJ Pilcher, if you haven't figured it out already, joining us from the Gazette here in studio, joining was out without his Heath Shuler jersey, by the way. The area's leading Washington Commander fan and a very happy Washington Commander fan.
I might have exchanged a few high fives with my Art Monk figurine on the entertainment center on Sunday night. But, yeah, two jerseys that I have, Heath Shuler and Stephen Davis.
Oh, wow.
I might want to update that a little bit. I'll be glad to purchase a Jane Daniels, Terry McLaren jersey anytime here.
I think he may have to. Yeah. I think he's going to be around for a while right there. Well, let's talk some wrestling here. First of all, before we knock into the high school ranks, you just came from Carver for the weekly news conference. First of all, you and I, as Mark said on the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard, they're up number 5 now, highest they have been under Schwab. So that's good.
This is a team that, you know, they returned a lot of people from last year. And what they were able to do, they were able to get a lot of experienced guys back. Keck Eisen, he brought back Cale Happel at 141. Lance Runyon came back for a 6-year, moved from 174 to heavyweight, and that's worked out well. You've got Colin Real Buto back, who took an Olympic red shirt last year. You know, you have a transfer like Jack Thompson, Jared Simo. We saw him with a big win against South Dakota State in the finals of the NWCA National Duels over Kate DeVos, ranked in the top 8. Wyatt Volker's put together some wins. They have had this balance, and a lot of it is because of that group that returned from last year. You know, they're one of the programs, we were talking about it off air, that avoided being hit with NIL stuff. I know Keck Eisen had offers, you know, had people reaching out. You know, there was temptation to go to a bigger program, and he stayed back. And I think what you're seeing is a product of the culture. I know that's a buzz term and that gets to be a little cliche, but it really is up there. You know, they're having to put together their own practice facility. You know, when they tore down West Gym, there's like this blood and sweat equity that they've invested in this program together as a team, and it's paying off. You saw them really whip the snot out of Nebraska. And then they carried it over. Sure, the field wasn't filled with top programs, but for them to handle them the way they went 35-5 against other Division I teams. I don't care what teams they were. When you do that over a course of 4 duels, that's impressive. And they certainly have, you know, they had a team in I can't remember what year that finished the dual season undefeated. Definitely Schwab's best team. They might have finished, I know they were in the top 10 for the dual rankings, maybe top 5, but this is definitely their best team. They've got balance, and they've got high-end guys that can get bonus points, and that meshes together, and they've been really, really tough. It'll be interesting to see, not this weekend, but the following weekend when Okie State comes to town and how that translates against another top-five team. It did against Nebraska, so.
Sure did.
KJ, I know you probably added an entry to your calendar when it was announced the Flo Wrestling event at the Extreme Arena with Lee and Ono headlining it. I see David Carr announced today. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people believe this is really what wrestling needs.
Yeah. Oh, I agree wholeheartedly, Mark. This is something. College duels generate a lot of excitement. The NCAA tournament generates a lot of excitement. But these standalone, you know, once you get outside of the college ranks, outside of that four-year rotation with the Olympics, wrestlers just kind of fade out from public attention, right? Now, this is a great opportunity to showcase a sport. You don't just have top college guy, you've got the top wrestlers in the world. I mean, if people don't understand how good Masanowski,
that guy,
I still butchered it, but how good he is. He won the junior and senior world titles this last year at 61 kilos. That's not just a regular occurrence. And then, of course, everybody knows what you have in Spencer Lee. And there's also these other matches that are kind of filtering in. You mentioned David Carr was announced today. He's taking on Takatani from Japan. Outstanding match there. You've got Aaron Brooks and Zahid Valencia, kind of the co-main event as well. So it's not just Iowa-based. This is wrestling as a whole, and kudos to Flow Wrestling, and kudos to the competitors themselves to put themselves in there and be this highlight event, because this is really a special this is going to be a special night of wrestling at Extreme Arena.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Going to be great. Speaking of special, going back to high schools here, you had good one on Saturday. Always fun. The Eckenrod is one of the best. Benton does such a great job of putting it on, and Bosco put it on a bunch of bigger schools.
We've seen that before, but Don Bosco, you know, a perennial power. They looked really good. And speaking of Schwab, his sons Hayden and Hendricks win back-to-back titles. Actually, Hendricks comes off the mat after winning 113, same mat. Here comes Hayden. Both looked really, really good. Don Bosco as a whole looked good. They've got hammers. They have got some absolute studs in that lineup that that are going to power that program. When you look at both of the Schwabs, you've got Youngblood there as well. You know, They may not have the balance from top to bottom, from 106 to heavyweight, that they've had in the past, but they have got five or six guys that are going to be in the finals at every tournament, and that includes the tournament down in Des Moines, which is going to warrant a lot of points. So it's going to be a really interesting dynamic between them and Albernette that we can talk about in a little after this. But the Benton Field, I tell you what, I don't know if there's a better invitational that brings together good teams and loaded brackets with individuals, maybe from some teams that aren't going to contend for a title. But you saw three of the top 190-pounders go at it in that tournament in Class 2A. Brendan Hing came away with a title, beat Brent Yankovic in the semis 1-0, and then scored a takedown late in the second period and held on to beat state champ Austin Scranton 4-2 in the final. And those guys, they met in the Bob Murphy tournament at West Delaware to start the season that first weekend. Similar where Hayden beat Yankovic. I think it might have been 1-0 as well, or 2-1, and then beat Scranton 2-1. Scranton beat Haying at Osage the week before Saturday. So these three, they're ranked 2, 3, 4. I'm guessing when the new rankings come out, it'll be 1, 2, 3 because Scranton also beat the number one, the previous number one from Humboldt handily. So you've got a tournament that brings together three of the top guys in one class, and that's not even talking about some of the other guys in the field that will probably be place winners at the end of the season. But Brendan Haying, a great performance in his own gym there in a great field. And then, as we mentioned with the Schwab brothers, you know, Hayden Schwab absolutely dominates, a two-time state champ from Union in the finals. Hendrick Schwab with a pin in the finals. You had another top matchup at 120 or 132 between two-time state champ and three-time finalist Jace Hedeman of Union versus Aaron Boone of Washington, Iowa. Not Aaron,
not the baseball
Aaron frickin'
guy.
Boone, but Boone, a very talented wrestler, multiple time state medalist there in the finals. So, you know, a great performance from Don Bosco. You know, Dallas Center Grimes wrestled really well as well. They were a top three team. You had Waukee Northwest in the field, and then West Delaware getting fourth with, I think, three or four champs. So, fun day. And you got to credit Benton's volunteers. So Benton has a 8-team girls dual tournament on Friday. They have this gigantic JV and varsity tournament on Saturday, and then they have a kids club tournament on Sunday. So my hat's off to the volunteers who I think set up cots or just sleep on the mats during the weekend.
And real quick, KJ, they had a tournament at Highland that became the Albanette Invitational.
They did.
Yeah, looking at that, you know, I was really interested to see how Albanette, Wilton, how that competition would go. Got to see their duel at the beginning of the year that came down to the final two matches pretty much. And, you know, Wilton was one of the teams that you thought would compete with Don Bosco and Albanette. But like you mentioned, Albanette, 14 wrestlers placed fifth or better. So their whole team was fifth or better. That's exceptional. 11 in the finals. And I think, seven or eight champs. You know, that's dominance. And Gary Curtis, that's a nice small school tournament. That's a good field. And, of course, with Wilton, they beat Wilton by 106 points. So that's really putting the old exclamation mark on the end of a performance. So I think what we're seeing is we're seeing Don Bosco and Albanette, kind of like last year, separating themselves from the field a little bit. And I think you've got a real contrast in, I think Albanette has more balance from top to bottom. I think Don Bosco has the more elite guys that are going to score big points, whether it's bonus points in duels or placing in bonus points in tournaments. So it's going to be, you know, how those two teams perform and play to their strengths. And we'll get a good look at Albanette again this weekend at the Cedar Rapids Jefferson Jayhawk, because they'll be in that field with the likes of City High and a lot of teams from 1A, 2A, and 3A across the state.
Yep, just going to say the Jayhawk is this weekend. And that's going to be a lot of fun. Always is. Put on a great tournament over there. That's one of the highlights anyway.
Yeah,
around here.
I'll be there. That's one I never miss. And, you know, Dick Briggs, that was one of the first ones I really remember where they reached out to teams from across the state.
Yeah.
Bringing in a Fort Dodge, bringing in Humboldt, bringing in Underwood. From the western side of the state to bring in good teams. You know, the Jayhawk, that allowed us to watch one of those Teske versus Thompson matchups between four-time state champions. their senior season. So they have always done. Rob Martin has continued what Dick Briggs and Matt Orton have put together and continued that great field over there at Jeff. Bondurant Farrar's coming in. They've got some quality wrestlers from Central Iowa. Fort Dodge will be here again. West Des Moines Valley, Waukee Northwest, who we just saw at Benton, coming back, and some of their guys there. So that'll be really fun to watch, and another good test for Albernette, who I know Clayton Rush loves those kind of challenges to kind of prove themselves.
Yeah, we got a couple minutes here, and 8582 in the text line says, shows where Southeast Polk is after what they did to Don Bosco and Albernette.
Oh, I know.
You know, that's they're in a different level.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of those things where they're in a one-team league, and we saw what they did with Ankeny, you know, was it 60 to minus one?
Yeah.
You know?
After they cleared the gym.
After they cleared the gym. Trying to sidestep that little
But,
I mean, Southeast Polk, you know, I think they went up to Kaukauna to the Cheesehead Tournament in Wisconsin. I know they went to a tournament down near Kansas City that had some nationally ranked wrestlers and teams down there and just kicked tail. Southeast Polk is by far the best team in the state, and you know, they keep climbing the national rankings too. So that's I'd say a juggernaut, but they've already been up there.
They've already been a juggernaut for a long, long time. So they're just, it's their maybe the best one they've had.
Yes.
So we'll find out. We're getting into the middle of January already. So, man,
I know.
It flies.
Well, meat of the season. And the interesting thing is after this weekend, there's only one weekend before we hit that championship season with conference tournaments starting. So we're getting into that amp up to the championship season, and we'll have conference tournaments, regional duels, and state duels all within 2 weeks.
Be here before we know it. Yes. All right. Best of luck to the Commanders this weekend.
You bet. Let's try to keep it inside the goalpost instead of having to bounce off and use a protractor to get that to go in.
Doinking.
Doink.
It's called doinking to win.
Hey.
Doinking to win.
As my daughter said as I was cheering, hey, it counts.
It does.
That's all that matters.
All right. Thank you, KJ.
Thank you,
Appreciate
Scott.
Appreciate you. All right, Mark. We'll have Iowa's USC game to talk about tomorrow. Mark Ironside will join us and preview Iowa State and Kansas coming up tomorrow. So looking forward to that, as well as a Bowling Night in America preview. Always an entertaining one. And we will have that coming up tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class.
Sounds great. Talk to you then. But
all right. And Isaac, any questions for KJ before he hits the dusty trail?
Is there any match you want to see added on 26th? Anything that comes to mind right away?
Yeah, 30 seconds.
Oh, that's a good question.
You can tell me on Friday. You don't have to answer now.
I'd really have to delve into that one and try to figure out what freestyle.
Work on it, man.
I'd like to see another lower weight one with Vito.
Oh, yeah.
I love watching Vito. I'm sure they can find somebody that can mix it up with him.
Good answer. All right. Thank you, sir. All right. Stay tuned. Spencer on Sports coming your way next right here on 1600 ESPN. Have a great night. We will be back with you tomorrow at 3 with the Gym Class.
Hello, everyone. It's your favorite president, Donald J. Trump, here to introduce something really special. You're going to love it. My new Trump watches. It's one of the best watches made. Wear it proudly on your wrist and everyone.